Welcome to the New Earth Architectress, where you'll discover how the evolution in consciousness is paving the way for your leading role in architecture. If you're a high-achieving, spirit-conscious woman architect who's hearing the deep call to bridge spirit with form, welcome. Now is the time, and we are the ones. Hello, and welcome to the New Earth Architectress podcast. I am super excited about today's episode. I have a special guest on the show today. Her name is Jo Petroni, and she is an architect who helps landowners and property owners to deeply listen to their land, to feel into the solutions for regenerating their property and also for planning their property. She's going to share more about her unique approach, and I'm super excited to dive into today's conversation. Welcome, Jo.
Thank you so much for having me, Aisha. It's an absolute joy to be here. I'm sure we're going to have a great conversation.
Yes, I'm sure too. So, Jo, for the audience members, the listeners who don't know who you are, we'd love to hear, okay, you're an architect. How did you start? How did you get into sharing and guiding property owners and land stewards through your unique modality? And tell us more about it too.
I am what a couple of us also call a recovering architect.
A recovering architect, yeah.
My father was an architect before me, and that's all I ever knew to do. And I, you know, grew into it and looking above his shoulder, and went through school with his guidance, and then went into the trenches. And after a couple of years of that, I kind of had my disenchantment moment that I did not want to make any other commercial building plan in my life. And that happened at the same time as I was sitting in an orchard barefoot in June. And I had brought with me, I'm a city girl, so that was like a whole new thing for me. And I was reading the permaculture book from Bill Mollison that I had brought with. And it completely opened up my life. I was, what, 24, maybe 25, coming out of school. And that summer was a summer of walking barefoot, growing your own tomatoes, doing yoga, learning to do meditation, looking at the orchard, like all of it, everything, and reading permaculture. And so that brought to my world a new understanding of buildings. I'll go technical because, you know, there's a lot of architects in your audience, but if there's a jargon at some point that needs, you know, explaining, please interrupt me and we'll
absolutely I will. Thanks for asking. Yeah, thanks for sharing. Yeah,
it brought an understanding of buildings not as the sort of conceptual free-floating thing in the nothingness of the AutoCAD space, but as an actual element in a system. And that system at the start was, you know, simple. It was the site. And so I started bringing all of that back into my practice as a very straightforward understanding of microclimate in order to do bioclimatic passive solar design. That was the extent of it at the very start. That was the pull. And it made so much sense to me. I was like, I just have to tell everyone, and like it's so like obvious. and I've been telling it to everyone ever since. So what it did, it was recalibrating this way of seeing architecture in this in step with the disenchantment that I was having. And it, with this difference between what I had idealized was the profession and what it is in reality today. And so I started my practice, my own practice, in that direction. Worked with a lot of off-gridders, permaculture buffs, natural building, low tech, etc., etc. And then the scale started widening towards eco-villages, and then what is now called regenerative communities, and bigger sort of hospitality developments with wellness and regenerative and et cetera. So that's sort of how it all started. And then Listen to Your Land came as the almost theoretical methodology that was underlying all of that practice. And again, it started as very simple. Well, listen to your land as where the sun heats you in the head in the summer, there should be a cover. And yeah. Where the wind blows, there should not be a door. And where there's a puddle, please don't build. And then it started growing more and more and more. Mm-hmm. And layers and layers started adding as to how do you read a place? What makes a place? What are the layers of reading it and understanding it that you can add? From the culture of a larger scale first, of course, all of the watershed comes with, you pick a banana and you pull out the whole jungle. All of these layers, and you can go esoteric all the way down if you wanted, right? Or you can keep it to the level that interests you. It's a very flexible and personal practice. And then it started getting a bit more structured, et cetera, et cetera. And here we are today with the Listen to Your Land as it is.
Wow, that's beautiful. I love that. It so resonates with me. When I discovered your work, what came forward as a feeling was a very grounded knowledge, a grounded knowing, and kind of like no need to use the word regeneration, no need to use the word sustainability, no need to use the words passive healing, passive cool, no need to use the words biophilic, no need to use the word just like grounded knowledge in true observation and getting to know where the water is on the land, where the sun rises, where it sets, where the winds are blowing. And there are many architects, actually. My microphone is on, and it's so funny that it's on this book. And I laughed when I looked down and looked at him like, oh, how appropriate. This is sun. I'm not going to move my microphone. Well, I can actually, hold on. I can. And this is sun, wind, and light.
A classic.
It's a classic. Yeah. And it's so classic, and it's like the pages are brown, right? And I remember when I discovered this book, actually later, one of the professors that I taught with at the University of Economics, but it has an architecture department in Turkey, in Izmir, had this as one of the curriculum books for the students. And it's a beautiful, concise, well, actually comprehensive book that talks about the strategies across various cultures, right? And strategies for systems and architecture that are rooted in the local region, right? So for example, in let's say a more tropical climate, let's say Bali or something, you want to have longer, narrower buildings lifted up. There's a lot of moisture, right? Lifted up, like kind of like on stilts, lots of screens, right? narrow section so that when the monsoons come, right, it's raining, but there's a lot of cross ventilation. So when the sun comes out, the building dries out. Whereas here where I live in Izmir, more kind of temperate, arid Mediterranean, it's similar to where you are, right? In Provence, pretty much similar, I think.
Yes, yeah, it's very much
similar, right? You'll see, it's actually kind of like observing also not only just the land, right? Just, there's so much in the land, but the land, right? The natural features, but also observing the vernacular, right? Architecture, just really listening to that. Take a look. Aha.
What can you learn?
People were building more square buildings here, more square, 50 centimeter thick stone, right? And so in order to really keep the heat inside, right, for a longer period of time. I mean, there's so much more to the systems there. But I mean, we've lost this, I feel, Joe. And thank you. We've ran away from it. And sure, I mean, as a spiritual architect, Joe, I mean, the visions I see for the future architecture are just incredible, right? Like, what? There's this kind of like fluid, spiritual fluid running through buildings, and it runs the building, but it's this natural free kind of energy, and buildings are actually speaking to people. The visions that I receive are like, yeah, like nothing like we see now in architecture. But the danger of always staying in the vision and not bringing it down and anchoring it to the ground that we now live in, to also the stage and the evolution of consciousness that we're in, right? Like, we're physical human beings, right? We have needs, we have necessities. If we're not really bringing it down, what I see constantly in spiritual circles, and I know that you didn't bring in the topic of spirituality, but I'm just sharing it in
like
from
I didn't
my
bring the regenerative. Well,
you brought meditation in, you brought yoga in, but I'm just kind of almost like talking about exactly what you're sharing from my lens. The danger can be is that we can get lifted off the ground and just constantly in la-la fantasy land. Now, some of those fantasies and visions are amazing. And if you can really get them built and created, amazing. But so much now that with AI and all of this like quick image generation, fast, right? 2 seconds, it's done. 2 seconds, it's there. And it becomes like an addiction actually, right? You get addicted to that fast pace. What people I find end up getting really disappointed and frustrated, they're like, why is it taking so long? Or why does it take work, or why does it take effort to build something?
It was supposed to
physically
be easy. No, it was never supposed to be easy.
Yeah. Now, I do feel though that what you're bringing in, listen to your land, does bring ease. And it does bring a certain, I guess there's so many when we're in the beginning let's think about conventional architecture, Joe. What I've seen time and time again in architecture practices is clients bring in a whole pile of drawings or magazine clippings. Okay, that shows how old I am. Not magazine clippings, Pinterest boards.
A mirror board. Yeah, okay.
Right, Pinterest boards. Do this, I want this, I want that, I want this. And then, you know, if you're an intuitive architect, that can feel really jarring, right? Like, because you're just like, well, wait a second, let's see what wants to unfold here. Let's make room for the creation and room for the mystery of creation, right? Or I share this in my YouTube series on the Sacred Blueprint, or you have the egomaniac architect, who doesn't listen to their clients' needs, who certainly does not listen to the land and has his own fantasies or her own fantasies, and they just want to import and plop. I think of Hassan Fathi, who's one of my idols, okay, Egyptian architect. He was building with adobe and building with the vernacular forms in Egypt. And he talks about T-square architecture. He's like, these lines, these up and down lines, a la Mies van der Rohe, I don't know what you guys are talking about, right? I love him. What are your thoughts? What are your intuitions, Joe?
We've touched on so much. I'll start with why we're with this running away from vernacular inspiration and from working with the land. And in a way, all of these topics that we're talking about are leading to the same issue of us culturally thinking that we're above nature and we're done with, we've got technology now, we have science now, we have all of these solutions, tech solutions that we can plop onto anything. There's water coming. Oh, don't worry, we'll build a drain with a French drain and put an insulation. We have too much heat. Oh, don't worry, we'll put insulation on the roof. Oh, we have these sort of new panels, new technology, that, etc. Oh, don't worry, we'll put UV glass, which, by the way, backfires. And there have even been issues of garden furniture taking fire because catching fire because the UV glass, the low UV. Some
experiments with the magnifying glass.
Yes. If it hits it long enough on a garden chair, that can happen. Also, the very cute example of the, and that's my good friend Carl Welty, an architect in LA, who I have to mention for having founded the example of the very high-tech LA mansion with the terrace with full UV, low UV glass, and then a terrace. And on the terrace, you couldn't sit because it was like an oven.
So hot, right? It's just bouncing off that thing. And it's just like creating a good place to maybe make a barbecue. skin. Yeah,
the solar barbecues, but big and for humans.
Wow.
So it's this constant fighting of our egos with nature and thinking that we're all above that. And if we just put enough energy, we have gas, we have petrol, we'll just burn more energy and just fix it. Trampling nature in the process, of course.
Yeah.
So, and now speed, because if you have all of that energy that you can spend, you have to do it fast. And your ego says, oh, we're going to do it. We're going to make it really fast. And every time I would be brought in with a new client, and usually they're pretty well filtered clients because they come to me because of me and what I talk about, and still they want to open
and they still want to fast. Isn't it interesting?
Yeah, there are decisions that have already been made before me being brought into the project, and I'm really pretty sure that you've come across that too. And that decision, once it's done, it's incredibly hard to undo. They're like already anchored into the subconscious that this is the way that project is supposed to be. Whether it's, you know, we're going to make that yoga pavilion out of bamboo over there, or bigger project programs that actually don't fit.
Yeah, like a house addition or something like that. It could be an existing home. It could be at any kind of scale. Preconceived. I talk about that as preconceived
idea. And so that led me to realize that before you do the listen to your land, you have to do the mental jailbreak. That helps you get to that space.
Write that down. Mental jailbreak. Hey, this is Aisha popping in here to let you know about my free webinar. This is where you're going to discover how to unlock your spirit architect mastery, and it's going to support you to magnetize amazing clients who love paying you top dollar for your intuitive gifts. You're going to magnetize soul liberating health and overflowing creativity, birthing the sanctuaries of our new earth. I also offer an exclusive resource that I don't share publicly. This is the Sacred Blueprint Sweet Spot Profit Map. This is where you're going to gain tools that are going to support you to ditch the depletion of conventional practice in order to build a prospering architecture practice, bridging spirit with form. So make sure you sign up below for your free access, and on with the interview.
A lot of people used to call it unlearning, but I don't really like the unlearning name.
I don't know.
So yeah, mental jailbreaking. Having to drink the Kool-Aid is another one. Is another good one.
That's a good one.
And that means really an inner work of recalibrating your relationship with that place, finding out where the ego trips are and trying to get rid of those, and really seeing things clearly. What is your role with that place, and what and why are you trying to achieve?
Yeah.
And so it becomes so much deeper than, you know, me being the architect who tells you what to do. And that was for me an identity shedding, hence the snake.
I noticed the snake. I'm glad that you brought the snake energy into this. Yeah.
It's very new.
Wow. It just got shivers.
It's a this week thing. But I realized a couple of months ago that no, I'm not an architect, and I'm not even a service provider.
Yeah.
You have a service provider means you have a problem that you know, and then a service provider who brings you the solution to that.
Yeah. And people are paying you for something, and you deliver.
The deliverable. And I've been struggling with, you know, having my clear deliverable for people for a very long while. But the truth of it is that the practice of listen to your land is much more a transmission, a recalibration, you brought up the spirituality thing, so I'm going to run with it. It is a way of seeing reality differently as well.
Yeah.
Because there are so many layers of reality that we ignore by just the sheer, you know, how you don't see when you drive at night, you don't really recognize motorcycles because your brain looks for the pattern of two lights. And if there's only one light, your brain just
That's
doesn't.
A fantastic doesn't example. It. Yeah. It's because it's this pre-programming, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And wow. One time I was, we were in Greece. We just rented an apartment from a Dutch couple, and they were retirees, and as a lot of Dutch retirees, they were very into birds. And as she was telling me about birds, in that moment, in that space, in a taverna in Greece, a whole new layer of reality opened up. The birds had always been there, but all of a sudden I was perceiving a bird song here, a different one there, a bird in front across on the fence, wow, something moving in the bushes. And I realized that I was just not perceiving that layer of reality. So yeah. Listen to your land has a lot of that going on of,
yep,
how do you bring another lens, another layer of reality into your consciousness?
I love that.
How do you perceive more of reality?
Yeah, when you are speaking, I hear window of truth. So another layer of truth about the moment, could be just the moment, could be the story of the place, can be a moment of truth about the true dynamics of relationships, right? Of people living there, relating with the place or not relating with the place, right? And And I think that's really also the beauty of the feminine principles. And when I talk about feminine principles of being, it doesn't relate to gender, but it's about intuition. It's about the mystery. Yeah. It's about flow. It's also about slow in many ways. Of course, there's also different archetypes of, you know, the feminine warrior who might be super fast, right? And swift and all
We've
that.
Had a lot
I'm
of
not
that
talking way. About something that's black and white here, but for me, the feminine has taught me to slow down and really listen to those in-betweens, right? The in-between spaces, the in-between the conversation, and opening up a whole new level of listening, like all around.
And holding all of that complexity without trying to collapse it too soon. And that's something I've seen a lot with people is I open their brain up. Like, they're, let's do a map of what this place can be. And what other layers can we find? And at the end of an hour, they go, like, their brain has exploded. Right. Because they can't hold all of that without sort of making it into a gigantic boulder that they have to hold on their head. And there's a process there that's called, it's a cognitive process that's called relevance realization. If you want to look up, Dr. Ferveke writes about it. He has a great Substack on relevance realization. It's this ever morphing at every instant process that we do of filtering out what is relevant to us in that moment out of the gigantic space of stuff that we get, that we encounter. Right. So reality is so much more that come than just what comes into our consciousness. And so this filtering is something that's ever flowing. It's ever moving. And we're in a way almost creating our reality as we move through space and time via this relevance realization. Mm. So holding all of this chaos and then collapsing it into what's relevant, that means filtering out the irrelevant as well.
Yeah, so the irrelevant things. Yeah.
How do you, you know, playing with that, being
able to be with that without immediately, I love that, the collapsing word that you're using. I think part of why people feel overwhelmed with all the layers that you're revealing to them on the land, because the past paradigm, the old paradigm, has taught us that we constantly need to make a product out of something.
Yeah.
Or that we constantly need to make a solution in the moment. Like, so, okay, I have this information. Now, what is it going to turn into? Okay, I have this information. What's the design? How many bedrooms is there going to be?
Yeah.
Where are we going to put it? How are we going to get it built? Oh my God, that's going to cost money. Well, that's not going to work. And then, la, 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 la. So, and that to me is the, for me is the unresolved masculine, like the energy of just constantly wanting to externalize everything, make everything physical, product, right? A commodity, something, right? Whereas what I'm hearing that you're sharing is, okay, so through the listen to your land methodology, you're revealing, you're a guide, you're a way shower. And you're revealing to me the truth about the place and all of its layers, all of its multiple energies, physical, energetic, and I got to be okay with just allowing that to be for a certain period of time before I make some decisions, right? Some next step decisions regarding the solution of the property. It's similar to the sacred blueprint methodology. And in the first few phases of the sacred blueprint, I guide my clients to relinquish their attachments to shape and style We do not take any photographs of the site, even. We don't take any photographs of the property. We don't look to Instagram or Pinterest or design magazines. We don't. They actually, because I empower my clients. It's their project. It's not mine. Theirs, right? And that can be challenging. And I get, even in the Sacred Blueprint, my clients are the ones who sketch the first sketch, not me.
I love
working through an intuitive map.
Yeah.
So, and that can be, and I love that you're giving these examples of what clients can bump up against, right? This overwhelm. I've had clients where they are, you know, there's some resistance to the process. There's fear. It's like, there's, oh my God, I've got to let go of this.
It's too woo.
Yeah. It's too woo. I mean, yeah, I'm working with clients who say they're interested, who come to me interested in spiritual energetic work. I'm not interested in converting people. As a healer, I've wanted to heal so many people and heal the world and heal everything. No, consent is the most important thing. Are you with me? Are you partnering with me? Are you open to entering into this space of the unknown, right? I go through all those protocols and communicate with them. Otherwise, they're not a good match for me.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. It's lovely what you say about you're not the one who's doing, it's them who do. And this comes back again to this idea of externalizing. We love we've been brought up as a society to externalize. Oh, I shall bring in an ecologist and they will solve it for me. It shall cost how many, thousands, but it'll be
really
done. And you can't externalize your relationship to that place. And you cannot externalize your deep understanding and knowledge of that place over the years that you have to actively build. To somebody else who's going to come for an hour, maybe a half a day, take some measurements, whatever, and give you their expertise advice. That is at the height of the leg of a frog compared to the deep knowledge that people a couple of generations ago had about a place. And there's something there that we've lost in, again, not a lot of generations. And climate change also kind of makes different because everything's a bit wacky. So you can't really learn from patterns of history anymore. You have to add this lens to it. It makes everything a bit more chaotic. But the simple observing of a place and how it goes through the cycles of a season, how it goes through the changes that it went through across the ages before you, stuff that you do through research, through interviews of the old neighbor who knows where all the water sources used to be and now they're not there anymore. But all of that gold that... You are the only one who can do that. Nobody else can come from the outside, get paid to give you the Cliff's notes on your place.
I love that. There's a couple of things that I'm thinking about related to our property here in Urla, in Izmir. One, our water softener. So we've got a lot of... lime, like calcium or kireç, lime in the water. It's hard water. And so we have a pretty good water softener system, right? But I'm dependent on the guys coming and checking and doing. I mean, they've taught us, right? And okay, this is a kind of a minor example, but in the future, if we're cut off from certain receiving certain products, right, because of a war or because of this, and we're cut off from receiving that company's products, right? Was there a way, right, in the past that we could have done it more without being dependent on that company? The other thing that comes to mind too is, so I work with reading the geopathic stress on people's properties. So I'm a dowser as well. So I do geomantic mm-hmm. work. So that's a whole other level of energy, which I think is so crucial to accompany what you are teaching and guiding your clients through, to really listen, right? You know, if there are toxic water lines running under the land, mm-hmm. you will have challenges sleeping at night. If there are ghosts, they may cause some trouble. If you build over a nature spirit dwelling, oh, they'll certainly cause trouble. They'll give you problems with getting permits. They'll give you problems with making decisions about your design, about your property. I mean, I've seen it all. But this slow topic, I think, is such an important one. There's this line of bushes that I'm like, grow bushes, grow. I'm like talking to them all the time. I think talking to your plants is a good thing too, to bring life force to them. And now they're finally growing, coupled with a great gardener. I've attracted a great gardener, and he's helped us to bring in some more iron to these bushes that we want them to grow long and healthy. I wouldn't have been able to fully confirm where some of those energy lines were running had it not been for that line of bushes, Joe. Because now I can feel each time I'm watering them. And so we don't have the on-demand watering system, which I know is very helpful for large properties. Our property isn't massive. So we've got like three hoses and we're watering our fruit trees and but you know, sometimes whenever I'm in that, like a huff about it, like, oh, I'm gonna water the fruit trees, you know, like, oh, right. Then there's this voice that tells me, Aisha, this is getting you out onto your land and communicating with your fruit trees. This is out getting you onto your land and looking at these bushes that you've been very putting a lot of your attention and wishes onto. So back to the energy, there's a spot where the bushes grow taller. Okay. There's a two of them. Where ley lines
taller than the other ones. Yeah.
Now sometimes ley lines can burn a bush too, because it's like a very fiery energy. It depends on the plant too. Some of the plants love the watery yin lines and stuff, but I can feel it when I'm holding my hose, one bush, then the other one. They're all the same species. Okay. All the exact same. So it's a good study, right? And I can also feel when there's a sucking down energy, which is a sign of geopathic stress. It could be too yin, right? Yin energy. She absorbs, right? Mm-hmm. Versus yang energy, which is more fiery and usually will lift you up. Like the Romans would build roads all along grid lines and ley lines to give the soldiers energy, boosts of energy, so that they're not falling asleep. So these are the layers that I bring in with the sacred blueprint, but just what you're sharing really reinforces the importance of the deep listening without wanting to make that quick fix solution. Cause there's an ego part of me that's like,
just what does that mean? And how can I use it? Yeah.
Yeah. Fast. I want them to grow fast and make a wall. So we're not looking at, you know, the side road. So yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And just observing, I mean, taking the time and being there present with your place. And that's what place journaling kind of started from.
Yes. Share with our listeners about place journaling, some of the offers that you have. And
okay, I'll dive right into.
And who is it for specifically? Like who is this a good match for? Your work, Who specifically do you work with?
My work at its best is a work of one-on-one transmission.
Yeah.
That's the space that we built together. It's a very personal space. It's somewhere, say, between coaching, mentoring, guiding, and designing together. And then, you know, the strategic advisor and all the service providing bits that come with. And that is the best for people who have recently bought a land and they have there are the threshold moments. So either they're about to purchase a piece of land.
Okay. So you help people find their ideal property as well?
As well.
Great. As well. Okay, good.
Because it also, and that also comes with, what do you actually want? What are you actually looking for? Where
not
is
what
the
your father wants or not what your, friendly? Yeah.
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 Pieces of land that have just been acquired. And so again, in that transition, the two phases of that transition, inheritance of pieces of land that come with all of their baggage and all of their ghosts and need, you need to recalibrate your relationship with that piece of land, shed what's come from before. And that piece of land also needs a new shape, a new purpose.
A new purpose, yeah.
So it's again a transition. It's a you and land transition phase.
Mm-hmm. Wow, yeah.
And so that's where I do one-on-ones, of course, but then I do what I call the listen first intensive, which is a six-week intensive when you're ready to like really lock in to and squeeze the lemon out of a listen to your land.
Is that different than place journaling? That's different. Okay, right. That's the 4-week one, which you'll share. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I share that last, even though we started with it, because it's the sort of easiest entry point. Okay. And it's because place journaling also works when you don't have a piece of land.
Oh, really?
When you are nowhere where you're just renting a place in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is I've come to realize the deep need for a sense of belonging that we all feel.
This has come up so much with my clients.
World,
play
where we're all migrants. You were telling me how many places you've come from, and so have I. I couldn't have developed Listen to Your Land had it not been for all of these different gorgeous places that I learned, like the little prince and his fox. We learned together to build a relationship by coming back to each other.
Yeah.
And so place journaling takes a little bit of that spirit and is just a series of practices that you can do for 10 minutes a day. They're different practices each week. Each week of the 4 weeks is one of the main elements. We start with earth, with grounding, with arriving in the place, and then we move on to water and all of the metaphors and all of the symbolism, all the stuff that you want or that you're pulled towards. And then air, and we finish off with fire, the energy of change. And so it's a series of practices that you can do absolutely anywhere. And we did one first session in January, and it was very interesting to see how you relate to a place when it's cold, when it's dreary, when it's bare bones because there's no leaves and you can see everywhere and the sun is angling. It helps you see everything. and how that we're going to see how that compares to you know, to the glorious days of summer solstice, and how, you know, when everything's so inviting and everything's so glorious,
buzzing and
offerings everywhere. So it's probably going to be an easier place journaling to do than going outside in January.
I mean, absolutely. Whenever I guide my clients to connect with their land physically, because we also work telepathically, which is pretty amazing as well through the meditations. I always remind them, okay, if it's Canada or somewhere, right? Like, it's like, take all your layers with you, you know, your tea, your warm tea and stuff like that. So yeah, beautiful. So place journaling, when does it begin? You've got
place journaling summer session is starting right after solstice on June 22nd. That's a Monday. And it's it's free. It's on the Substack of Listen to Your Land. And it's a very simple weekly email with a WhatsApp group.
Oh, great. And so will it be live then? You'll be delivering it live to the students?
No, it's a newsletter. And then the live part comes in the WhatsApp group, which is a bit more, it's still free, but it's a tiny bit more of an inner circle. And we gather around. Lurkers, welcome. You can join the WhatsApp group without feeling the need to, you know, to the responsibility of actually posting anything. You can just come in. It's
fantastic.
That's the inner circle of the practice. There's a lot of, or at least there were in the first session we did, a lot of peers, a lot of practitioners from the regenerative design space, from the permaculture space, architects, biophilic architects, et cetera, as well. So
I love that.
There's also this meta conversation of how do you bring that into your own design practice that's been
I love that. Beautiful, beautiful. So Joe has a special offer for all of you beautiful souls, 30% off the annual plan. So when your Substack annual plan, is that correct? Great. You get 30% off of Joe's Substack annual plan. We're going to send a special link for you. We'll add it to the captions below the YouTube video, as well as the podcast listening app. How else can people work with you? There's a one-on-one that you do.
There's the one-on-one, right? Of course. There's the paid, I want to add that the paid Substack, I don't think I've written that to you. The paid Substack also has the yearly Listen to Your Land contemplation practice.
Fantastic.
As that comes as a weekly ongoing. You can hop in at whichever time of the year you just happen to be. And it moves on cyclically. It's a small reminder that each week there's a new layer of reality that you could be geeking out about.
I love it.
And also, I also offer heavy discount on the two sessions of one-on-ones for the people who are subscribing on the Substack.
Fantastic.
It's more important to me that we talk on a heavy discounted price, and two sessions is enough either to get you completely hooked or to actually solve a tension or a knot that you were having. It's long enough that we can untangle something together.
Oh, beautiful. Well, for all of you property owners, land stewards, maybe even architects who are wanting to learn more about Joe's unique modality, I highly recommend you sign up for her Substack and connect with her. My feeling, as I've mentioned earlier, is that she brings a very grounded approach that is a balance of, maybe, I don't know, Joe, that you use it in, or you communicated in these terms, but it's a very balanced approach between the masculine and the feminine, and really connecting with the land, the physical place, but also opening up to the mystery of it through intuition. Do you work intuition?
Yes. Okay. Of course. But yeah, you're right. That this bringing this zooming in and out, and bringing, zooming in and out of scales that you work with, of course, but also the zooming in and out of the sort of ways of approaching things from the very practical to the very intuitive and back. That's also a very big part of the practice. And again, it can be unsettling. It can be unsettling at times. You're losing your footing a bit. But it's part of the dance. Otherwise, you
part of the dance, right?
We're not too much.
We're required to let go a certain amount. Otherwise,
in either direction,
holding on, right, to that preconceived idea, like we were talking about earlier in our conversation. Mm-hmm. No, I want the design to be like this, but it has to be like this. And or if you're developing, let's say, you know, you want to have passive income, so you're constantly making calculations. Well, I'll have this many tiny houses, and I'll do the Airbnbs, and you know, this is definitely a topic. It's like, how can I best utilize my land? And we can see the extreme of that with building developers, right? It's like, how much can I shove onto the property? And they always say the excuse, well, costs are high, labor costs are high, material costs are high, which is true. But you're going to end up being in the red and not being able to sell your houses.
And don't know why.
And you don't know why if you're not listening to your land, like Joe is guiding all of us, and connecting with the subtle realms of place and really respecting the land as a living being. She's our Mother Earth, right? And yeah, so we've been really destroying the land. And I don't mean to be overly romantic about like, oh, we don't build anything. That can be also another extreme.
That's the flip side.
Okay. I have a lot of clients who have gone through trauma and they're like, I don't want to touch anything. Yeah. Rudolf Steiner is someone who I've studied for a long time and I continue to study. I'm a Steiner student. He talked about how rocks actually enjoy being sculpted and crafted. Because there's an element of being that gets released. You know, we could go and maybe this is a part two, but it's a very deep topic. And so, and they're a part of us, the elements, the nature spirits are a part of us as well. And it's our duty to be that bridge.
Or at least to not sever the communication channels.
Yes.
At least.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right that there's this balance between being too grounded in pragmatic decisions.
Yeah. And then it becomes too hard, right? Yeah.
And gripping. And then the other flip side is you go all the way to almost decision paralysis because it's so you don't want to move. You don't want to change anything. You don't want to remove a single weed because weeds are displaced plants that are not like that. You get so bogged down into the other side of this coin, on the flip side of this coin as well. So it's a balance and it's a dance that you have to find within yourself. And that's why the first part is so important.
So important.
Grounding yourself first and then recalibrating your relationship with that place. So basically, like methodology wise, the listen to your land has three phases. First, this recalibration of the relationship and your inner centering. The second is the actual technical listening to the land, which can take different forms, different layers, etc. And then there's the decision making informed by those two first phases, right? You Beautiful. Take a decision on something. So you can do this cycle yourself in the garden very simply at a very small scale. And you can do this at the very big scale. A whole project as well. But the small scale is ground yourself, breathe once or twice, be with the place, observe it. That's the second phase. Observe it. And then ask a good question. Be curious. Why is that bush bigger than the other ones in the line? Don't fish for the answer yet. Just like send that question out with curiosity. And just sit with it. Let that space of not knowing be, and just float by. And this sort of tiny cycle, like, it can build up as a ritual almost, that you can go through it with earth and then fire, and then what are you missing? What's another thing you haven't been noticing lately? Use that mnemonic of the four elements to guide you.
I love that.
What's here today that I can anchor myself into, observe, and then be curious about?
So beautiful. Yeah, I love that. It's a cycle. I mean, there's so many crossovers with the sacred blueprint. I'm also guiding my clients through the four elements, and really that they're being supporting the whole process. And this whole, you can do a mini version, you can do a longer scale, bigger scale project version. And this question, the power of the question, it's almost like that seed, isn't it? Seed, really. Sending that seed out.
Yeah, those messages to the universe. That's yet another topic.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow, Joe, this is amazing. You had some beautiful images that you sent me. Would you like me to share a couple of those, or were they just kind of like attached to the email? Yeah, of course.
One of them is the website, but then the other one is slow.land, which is an experiment in showing people what listen to your land can be. And it's really funny to see people to send it to someone and look at them while they're trying to figure it out. So this is the website, the Listen First, the my main website. Which states what we've talked about, transitions of places that we don't fully know yet. The window when listening is still possible, because then there's a point when you get into project mode where really things are, stuff is nailed down, and you enter active mode, of course, but there's this fertile moment of potential and of not knowing that we're playing it with here.
Joe, are you artistic? Do you do hand drawings? And
oh yes, the my Substack, as you'll see, is full of that.
We would love to see more of those drawings if you're open to sharing, because they're just, I feel such a beauty coming from.
Thank you. Then you'll be pleased to know that an adjacent service of my work is called Slow Studio, and that's a creative real estate studio. On studio.slow.land. I'll send you that link as well.
I love it. Yeah, it puts into
drawing and into plans and perspectives and state plans the way all of this stuff of perspective of seeing reality differently that we've talked about. Wow. And then this is the slow land experiment that's, you have to go and visit it to understand what it is. I don't think I can say much more about.
Yeah, but they just then. there's an energy emanating from these images that I invite the listeners and watchers. I mean, if you're listening to this on the podcast app, hop on over to our YouTube channel, Aisha Rose Melody Hassan. And you'll see Joe's images here. There's a lot of beauty here, mystery, beauty, quiet, and slow, and depth. So yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, and then send it to a friend and watch him struggle to figure out what he's supposed to do with it.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
The struggle between the fast pace of the browser that we're used to and the slowness of this particular spot.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, Joe, it was such a great conversation, and yeah, such a privilege to interview you.
It was so good. I had a, we had a, we both had a sense it was going to be good. It was really good.
Yeah, really good. Really good. So, everyone, until the next episode, make sure we're going to have all of Jo's links in the captions. So, make sure you check out her website, her Substack. There's the place journaling summer session beginning. You have a 30% discount on the annual Substack subscription, and connect with her if you are eager to go deep and listen to the wisdom of the land to make the most aligned decisions regarding your property. Do not copy Pinterest pictures. Do not attempt to generate. I'm just going to add my instructions here, Joe, if you don't mind. Do not attempt to generate your floor plans with AI. I mean, I'm
Oh
not against AI. Just later, you can help. It can help you to produce some design drawings, whatever. This may be more for the architects, but don't deeply listen. Listen. Everything is actually within
God.
you. Yeah.
It'll come. It'll come. If you align yourself and be really and are really present, all of that comes. It just comes through you. You just have to open up your channels long enough for the thing to happen, for the magic to happen.
Beautiful. Ah, thank you, Joe, again. And I look forward to another conversation in the future.
It's
All right.
likewise.
Bye.
Bye bye.
Thank you for tuning into the New Earth Architectress. It is my intention to inspire more women architects to come out of hiding and unleash their intuitive powers to build a prospering architecture practice aligned with their divine calling. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review on iTunes, and share this episode with other women architects you know are feeling the nudges to bridge spirit with form. You can find out more about me and the Sacred Blueprint Movement by visiting AishaRoseMelodyHassan.com. Until next time.